had to put my notes this morning in a big notebook because I ran out of the little cards that I outline on at the house. I'm going to have to get some more of them done this week and forgive my negligence and my lack of diligence and help us out here this morning. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel this morning and chapter number 18. Not on? Somebody's got me on mute. Somebody's been playing with the microphone. All right, John's Gospel in chapter number 18. And I want to begin reading in verse number 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, that Jesus was known unto the high priest, or that that disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now I want to read one more verse of scripture here, if I can find it. And you don't have to turn there, but chapter 22 and verse 54. Bible said, Then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Let's pray and ask God's help in the message today. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the good songs of Zion this morning. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Lord, we have been so blessed with the good grace of God. Thank you so much for showing favor when it was undeserved, and love, Lord, when it was so undeserving. And thank you for being merciful to us as sinners and saving us from the devil's hell. And Lord, given us a home in heaven, providing eternal and everlasting life for us, providing us, Lord, with protection and provisions in this life. Thank God for the footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow along the way, that we're able to follow, Lord, in thy footprints, and Lord, never be ensnared by the devil. And thank you so much for the word of God before us this morning. I pray now for divine help. I feel so weak, Lord, both in body and in spirit and in mind as well this morning. I need your divine help and grace. I pray you'll deliver sinners from the bondage of sin, and God, that you'd stir up the hearts of your people. One more time, help us to come to a place of real worship and honor and praise to our God that loved us and died for us, yea, and rose again, in whom, Lord, we're looking for you the second time in clouds of glory to call us up into the clouds to meet you there in the air. I pray you'll bless now every home, every heart that's here. Again, fill me with the Spirit of God with power and wisdom this morning. Help me to think clearly and preach what the Holy Spirit bids me to say. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take as our text verse this morning, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. And then I want to preach out of the text that I read to you in John chapter number 18. For the Bible says there, then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. But notice where Peter is at when they're taking the Lord to Ananias and to Caiaphas, who was the high priest. The Bible said that Peter followed them afar off. And I want to preach on the thought just for a little while this morning of the dangers of lagging behind. The dangers of lagging behind. Let me say right quickly that the Lord never intended you and I to ever get ahead of Him. Neither did the Lord intend for us to follow Him afar off. But we are to walk with Him in the sweet harmony of fellowship, and we're to have that blessed fellowship with Him in this life. And there are some dangers, ladies and gentlemen, to following Him afar off. And there are some reasons why Peter chose to follow Him afar off. Now, I'm glad that he followed Him, but there's dangers of following afar off. Do you realize the Bible said that the devil is like a roaring lion walking about and seeking whom he may devour? And I'll guarantee you that some of those he is seeking is the sick and the weak and those that would lag behind away from the presence of God. I'll never forget years ago, Bill Nolan told me, he said, "Preacher, you need to draw up as close as you can to the heart of God and lay your head in the bosom of Christ and stay there and never depart." Now, I'll tell you, that's the greatest place you can spend your life, is in the very bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and never to be found guilty like Peter is or was of following the Lord afar off. It can lead into some dangerous places in your life if you find yourself there. Now, I want to continue today our studies in the life of the Apostle Peter as we have, and we've arrived, I do believe, at one of the most crucial points in all of the experiences of Simon Peter. This is a pivotal point in the life of the Apostle. And I'll say this morning, that Peter will be better remembered for his denial of the Lord Jesus than for anything else that he ever done in the Scripture. Do you realize this morning that one mistake, ladies and gentlemen, can cost you greatly in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of those that you're in contact with every day? Absolutely. I'll tell you, people are going to remember you more for the bad that you've done than for the great things that you have accomplished for God. And so it is with Peter. If you had asked most preachers today, the most prevalent thing they remember in the life of Peter It would be him standing in the judgment hall of Caiaphas and Ananias, and they're denying that he ever knew the Lord. Now that is an amazing thing, that here is a man that denied the very, that denied that he knew the Lord. And yet this same man was called upon on the day of Pentecost to stand and preach the gospel with power, ladies and gentlemen, and see 3,000 souls come to know Christ in the pardon of sin. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a mistake does not have to be fatal. And a mistake does not have to be final. I'm glad, thank God, that we can recover from the mistakes that we make along the way if we have the right attitude and the right mind about us. There's always a way that we can recover from the mistakes that we make in our Christian life. Amen. And so Peter will probably be remembered for that more than any other thing in his life. Now, I want to pause right here just for a moment. And I want to show you the difference. Or I want to contrast, if I may, Peter's denial and Judas Iscariot's betrayal. May I say to you, there is a great difference. When Peter denied the Lord, Satan was there to trip him up. Now, I'm always reminded that though a good man falls 7 times, yet the Lord will be there to lift him up. And so the devil tripped up Peter. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the devil trapped Judas Iscariot. And oh, there is a warning for you and I today. We better be careful of how we follow the Lord. There is a difference between being trapped, ladies and gentlemen, and being tripped, ladies and gentlemen. Get a hold of this. When Peter was tripped, he thought upon that sin, and that sin led him to a place of repentance and hope. But when Judas betrayed the Lord, he thought upon the consequences of his sin, and it brought him to remorse in his life rather than repentance. And the Bible said that he went out and hanged himself. Amen. And all of his bowels, the Bible said, gushed asunder. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There is a difference in remorse and repentance. You might have remorse for sin in your life, but remorse will get you nowhere, but repentance will. In other words, you can recover from, you can recover, ladies and gentlemen, like Peter may deny the Lord in some area, but I'm telling you, to be trapped and to betray the Lord is a final declaration in the Word of God. Anybody listening this morning? There's some dangers in life. Where are you at this morning? Are you walking with the Lord or behind Him? Are you lagging afar off? That one song we sang says something about neither lag behind or lay behind or something like that. Where are you at with Him this morning? Are you on the firing line? Or are you back in the rear echelon following afar off? Are you out in the battle, or are you set down back in easy company? God help us today. Here was our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, had been taken by the enemy, had been led off to be judged and led off to be crucified. And here is a man that just said that he was ready to go to prison and ready to die for the Lord. And yet just a few hours later, he finds himself in total denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody listening? Hallelujah. The scene here is the night of our Lord's betrayal and His interrogation of Ananias and Caiaphas. Peter, instead of showing courage and being where he should be, is found following the Lord afar off. I can't read my own writing here. In doing so, he falls into the wrong company, which eventually leads to his denial of the Lord three times. Now, come on in the house. I'll get there in a minute. But I'm telling you that Peter's denial, ladies and gentlemen, come about because of the wrong company he was found in. You can mark this down in your little black book. It does matter who you fellowship with, and it does matter who you company with. He found himself at the door, ladies and gentlemen, of the palace with the servants of the very enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, it does matter who you fellowship with. If you run with cussers, you're apt to cuss. Amen. You run with those that dip and chew and one thing and another, you're subject to wind up in the same place that they are. I'm going to tell you who I'd fellowship with if I was you. I'd try to find somebody that stood just a little higher than I did in grace and had a little bit more of God on them than I have. And that is who I'd try to spend my time with. Not at that crowd that's at the door in denial of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to show you something right here, too. Just hang on a minute. Don't ever think the devil will attack you in your weakest point. Somebody said, oh, that's where he's going to get us at. Oh, no. The greatest danger, ladies and gentlemen, is not in the weakest point. But the greatest danger of temptation and falling and being tripped up by the devil is not in your weak place, it's in your strong point. Somebody said, you've done flipped. Oh, no, I'm not. Brother Peter had just said in Luke 22:33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and unto death. And just an hour or so later, I'm talking about no less, no more than an hour or 2 hours later, he is standing at the door of the palace, and there has denies the Lord not one time, not two times, but three times denies that he even knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Peter was pretty braggadocious. I'm ready to go, Lord. Praise God, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm not only ready to go to jail, I'm ready to die. But I'm telling you, when the proof's in the pudding, ladies and gentlemen, it's when the opportunity arises for you to either compromise or be strong in God, which way you're going to go. Anybody listening now? You behave. If you get in your strong point, you're going to get cocky. You're going to get self-confident. Amen. Oh, the Lord. Devil ain't going to trip me up there. He'll get me in my weak point. Know your weak point you're on guard for because you know it's weak. But then them strong points, you let down your guard because you got the idea buried somewhere in your mind that you're real strong there. And you've done arrived and you've got her made, and that's exactly where the devil's going to nail your hide to the wall at. I want you to hear this, and the Lord just laid it on my mind, so I'm going to say it. And I don't say it in every case, but I've noticed preachers, for the most part, preachers and preachers' wives that have been overcome by the devil and committed adultery against their spouse. For the most part, their spouse is not some ugly duckling on the market. Most of them, ladies and gentlemen, have a good-looking wife, and yet they fall. You know why? They got in their mind, I got a beautiful wife, she's good to me. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'd never have another woman in my life, and you better be careful. I'm telling you that the devil can trip you up there, ladies and gentlemen, and cause you to fall into sin against God. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I really am. Is anybody listening to me? I want to mention some dangers of lagging behind, following afar off that led to Peter's denial. Then I want to mention the denial itself for just a little bit. try to get something across to you, the dangers. And I could have thought of humpteen of them. I've only got three, including the denial. I've just got 3 points to preach to you. But may I say there, the first danger I see in following him afar off is the danger of defilement. That is, of falling into sin and defiling yourself. And I find it right here in the Word of God. Peter is found with the servants of those who are enemies of Christ. And he is warming himself around the very fire that they have stood and built. In other words, Peter finds himself, ladies and gentlemen, in the company and fellowship of the wrong crowd. And that crowd is sinful, and you can mark that down in your little black book. Son, I'm telling you, you run with the dogs, you're going to catch the fleas. You run with the dogs, you're going to catch the fleas sooner or later. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:14-15, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I ask you this morning, what part, what fellowship, what concord do you and I as saved people have running around with those that are lost and on their way to hell? I'm telling you, you better learn to run with the people of God, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, somebody said it's just grandpa and grandma. What if grandpa and grandma cusses like a sailor? What if grandpa and grandma suck cigarettes left and right? What if grandma and grandpa set the television in front of your kids' eyes? What if grandpa and grandma runs around half naked, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you, the bad will rub off on the good before the good will ever rub off on the bad. Amen. You can say amen or oh me. But I'm telling you, you better hang with somebody that is like-minded and their conversation is going to line up with your conversation or you could be in trouble. Peter finds himself at the door of the palace with the servants of Caiaphas and Ananias. And the officers have built a fire, and there's old brother Peter standing there around the fire warming himself. And you're not going to tell me that there's not a danger of being defiled standing there. Hey, God has made you holy. That's right. I'm telling you, I've heard people say some things to me. I've heard conversations out in the public that all are just defiling in their nature. And it's not good, ladies and gentlemen, to even talk about some things. It's not good to listen to some things. For they will defile your very mind. They'll defile your heart, defile your life, and cause you to follow God afar off. Better know I'm right. We're talking about a man of God here. Now, where did he defile himself at? Well, he might have been defiled. He might have been defiled in his language. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I'd never let that rub off on me. I want to remind you, the third time Peter denied the Lord, the Bible said that he cursed and that he swore. Now, I'm telling you, he didn't get that with the Lord in the garden. He didn't get that kind of language on the Mount of Transfiguration, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't get that the day that he declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll tell you where he come up with those words. It's running with the wrong crowd and standing with the wrong crowd of people. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and you can like it. You can lump it, hump it, jump it, dump it, bump it. Don't matter to me. But I'm telling you, I've seen some young people in this church and old people alike that's got a saying that I loathe. And I'm telling you, you didn't hear it from the Bible. And it's one little four-letter word called cool. That's cool. Where'd you hear that at?
You didn't hear it from Brother Hall. Well, that's cool. The only cool I know of is that the Lord walked with Adam in the cool of the day. That's cool. Somebody said, I don't like that, preacher. That's not a big thing. It's not. Where'd you hear that? I'm going to tell you where I heard it at, from beatniks and flip-flops back in the 50s, ladies and gentlemen. Cool, man. Cool, man. Cool, man. And it ain't long, instead of it being cool, it'll be cool, man. Cool, man. That's cool. I'm going to tell you another one that's being picked up, and I'm hearing preachers say it. Chill out, man. Let's chill out. What are you doing? Chill out. No, I'm not chilling. Bless God, I'm sitting in this recliner in front of Freddie reading my Bible. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about language. You realize every word you ever hear, you got a computer in your brain that'll store up every word you ever hear. That's why it's imperative to stay away from that crowd. Somebody said, oh, it don't bother me. Oh, I know you're tough. I know you're spiritual, buddy. I know you got it on the ball. I'm going to tell you what it done to a man that had rubbed shoulders with one of the greatest saints of all time, a man by the name of Abraham. There wasn't a more spiritual man in the Old Testament than what Abraham was. And he had a nephew that run with him. And yet that nephew, when he got down in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said that he vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing the filthy communication of that crowd that was down there. Cool, ain't it, Daddy, man? Real help. Somebody said, you're being nitpicky. I'm telling you, it'll lead to bigger things. And you can brush it off. You can get mad at me. And son, it makes absolutely not a bit of difference to me. But I'm telling you where it'll lead to. I didn't start out drinking beer. I started out smoking a cigarette. Next thing I knew, it was beer and hard liquor. When I got with the big boys, I started picking up on their words. I'll never forget, and I couldn't say that I wouldn't mention a word for $1 million and $10 million. There's a fella I know back home, was in an automobile wreck, a big truck, big semi-truck, come out on the highway and hit him and some other fellas in the car and broke both of his legs. Sam Campbell, my wife will know who I'm talking about. And Sam was older than I was, and we was down in a little old town in Underwood one day, and Sam called that man a bad name. I'm talking about a foul name. I'm talking about a horrible, ungodly name. And about 3 days later, some of them were talking about it. And guess what? I repeated the same words and didn't even know what the words stood for. I'm telling you that Peter stood with that crowd and listened to that crowd. And later on, after the third time he denied God, the Bible said that he cursed, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't get that in the Lord's teachings. You know what cool is? Lukewarm. The Lord said if you're lukewarm, you spew you out of his mouth. Thank you, amen. Might say that he defiled. Boy, I've done lost some of you, ain't I? You know why I have? Because some of your kids say it, and in your mind, you're protecting your kids from saying it. And if you protect them from saying it, you just as wicked, bless your heart, as what they are. And I'm like the preacher was last Tuesday night. I ain't a bit afraid of you, hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Come on in the house. He might have defiled himself in his loyalty. Wonder who he's loyal to standing outside the door. And get this, because this is where this is leading to something. He wasn't even on the inside of the door. He was standing outside the door. That's a bad place to be, especially when the Lord said, I am the door, and he's on the outside of it. Whew, I done tell some of you, man. Where's our loyalty? Where's our dedication? Where's our courage? Where's our little Davids today that's willing to pick up five smooth stones and go after the Goliath rather than running and hiding in a tent somewhere? Where's our men that will teach your children right language and proper etiquette? Table manners. Come on in the house, bless your heart. I'm telling you, I'm talking about having manners, ladies and gentlemen, and knowing right from wrong and having a vocabulary that is becoming of the saints of God and being loyal and dedicated to our Christ. I'm simply saying that he defiled himself from lagging behind. I guarantee if he'd been up with the Lord, he'd have never said those words. He'd have been the same bragging Peter. Let them beat me too, Lord. Let them smite me too, Lord. Hallelujah. I won't say that it defiled his heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, you know all that. Somebody said, well, preacher, how did it defile his heart? He lied three times. No wonder the Lord just a little while before that said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God. The devil was a liar and the father of it. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of himself. For there is no truth in him. And here is a man that lied three times. Surely you're one of them. I don't know that man. Oh, surely you're one of his disciples. I don't know that man. Oh, surely you're a Galilean. I don't know that man. Three times. He lied three times, ladies and gentlemen. And lies come from the heart. Come on now. Don't everybody puff up and get mad. I used that first so I'd get into it a little bit and make some of you mad. Make you mad, you might get glad. Amen. I won't say secondly, there's a danger of discouragement. The danger of discouragement. Somebody said, preacher, now what? I already mentioned the verse about Lot. No need of reading that again. But there's a danger of discouragement. Somebody said, what do you mean discouragement? I wonder. Here's the point I wrote down under that. I wonder what those servants and what those officers were saying. He was standing there listening to them and talking to them. I wonder what they were saying. Do you realize that what people say can discourage you? I just wrote down, trying to find a third one. Couldn't find a third one. But they may have been out there bad-mouthing our Lord. They may have been casting doubt upon his teaching. There's Peter standing with that crowd, and they're criticizing the doctrine, possibly, that the Lord had taught. Oh, he talked about raising the temple, raising it up in 3 days, and he testified to this and testified to that. I'm telling you, he taught this and he taught that. But I wonder if he's really got the goods. And I'm telling you, running with that crowd, ladies and gentlemen, they will discourage you by casting doubt in your mind concerning the Lord and the way he has taught the Word of God to you and the way you've heard it. Is the whole church mad at me? Lord, help some of you looking strange. I believe gangrene done set in on some of you's eyes when I got on cool. I don't think some of you thought I was so cool. Come on now. Discouragement. You get out around the wrong crowd and they begin to badmouth your Lord, badmouth your church. Bad mouth, your preacher. Don't tell me it won't discourage you. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe old Hall is off his. Maybe old Hall is crazy. Maybe he is nuts. After all, he went down there and bought that radio station. They ain't raising much money down there. He probably don't know. I'll just head it off the path. He probably don't know God's will. He's missed the will of God and fouled up. And here we spend all this money and we ain't going to get nothing in return, this and that. I'm telling you, if that's the attitude of your heart, shut up!
Amen.
Sure, it's going to be rough. Amen. Nobody said it'd be easy.
Amen.
But are we going to let 6 days in McKenzie, Tennessee determine the will of God for us and the fact that we've done. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, had a woman to call her, we may be doing more good than not. Had a woman to call down there and said, I'm going to tell you why y'all ain't getting much money. Said, don't nobody down here stand where you stand. And said, you've said things contrary to the Pentecostal faith. And you've even said things against the Church of Christ. I said, praise God. Somebody must be listening. It wasn't 5 minutes in there. A young man walked in and said, I got $20 I want to give you. Said, by the way, said, we don't go to the same kind of church. Said, I go to a Church of Christ. And he said, every day, said, me and my buddies work for the gas company. And said, at 5 o'clock, he said, I'll get on my phone. Said, I'll dial every one of them and say, Brother Hall's on again. You guys listening to him? Said, we listen to you every day going home on the supper time hour. Said, man, you're a preacher. I said, this is a Church of Christ guy.
Amen.
Amen. But he gave it all away. He said, I go to a Church of Christ, but my whole family is Baptist. And I thought, well, you know what? You know why he is able to come over there? Case in point, I'm making, he'd been around family, been talking about Baptist doctrine and Baptist teaching, and he's thinking, maybe they ain't all wrong after all.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You got it, Brother Andy, one of these days. One of these days he'll get cornered. Hallelujah. So old Peter here denies the Lord, defiles his language, his loyalty in his heart. He's discouraged. He's casting doubt upon the Lord's teaching. Probably done damage to the Lord's testimony. Peter's probably scratching his head and said, I wonder if he's the Christ. Why on earth is he going through all this suffering? Why is he going through all this agony? And I got to hit the third thing and let you get out of here. I want to say, thirdly, there's the danger of denial. Now, I want everybody to hear this. I have never heard another preacher preach this. Not in the way I'm going to preach it right now. It's not so much the denial itself that I want to get on for just a few minutes, and I'll let you go home. But it's where he was. It's the place. It's the position that he was at when he denied the Lord. Where was he? May I say that the first place that he denied the Lord in verse 16 and 17. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto a high priest. And spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. There's the first denial. Come on in the house and listen. Where was it at? The door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. And find pasture. I want everybody to listen. Come on, try to listen. I know some of you turned it off. You think it's too hard. You think old Hall's too rough. I want you to listen. Get this now. At the door, and he was on the other side of the door. I'm telling you right now, say what you want to say. But I see there that Peter denied his faith. He denied the faith, the very gift that God had given him. When you start denying your faith, somebody said, now, I never deny the faith. Well, now, let me ask you this. Is having faith all in just saying I got faith? The Bible said the just shall do more than talk about faith. The just shall live by faith. Do you think Peter was living by faith, standing out there quivering in his boots? Talking with the wrong crowd, listening to, bending, getting his ear bent on how sorry the Lord was, and he really wasn't God. He really wasn't the Savior. He wasn't the King.
Amen.
Do you think that's faith? The just shall live by faith, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, at the door, that's where it all begins. That's where your Christian life's got to begin. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Now I'm telling you, he didn't enter in that way that night by the Lord. He entered in by John, the disciple that loved the Lord. I'm telling you, he was in there, but he wasn't in there by faith, ladies and gentlemen. Was in there because somebody else let him in. Faith the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've got to come to the conclusion by Peter's life, by the incidents in his life after this night, that the substance of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've got to come to the conclusion that he had lost faith that Christ should die and rise again from the grave. He denied him. Three times he denied him. Are you living by faith? Come on now, are you living by faith? Peter couldn't get in the door. He couldn't get in the door where the Lord was. Somebody had to come out and help him get in. Now I'm telling you, by faith, every door we'll ever walk through, we'll walk through by faith. But he couldn't get through that one. Trapped on the outside with the wrong crowd. Because his faith had begun to waver. Now I'm telling you, that's tougher than a lot of you want to say. Somebody said, oh, preacher, did he lose his salvation? Oh, no. Oh, no. If we deny the Lord, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What it says over in the book of Timothy, I believe. God, help us today. This man that denied the Lord went on to write two books of the Bible. Are you living there? Somebody said it's too late. It ain't too late. It wasn't too late for him, and it's not too late for you, and it's not too late for us, and it's not too late for the church. Come on now. Peter denied. Peter's denial at the door was a place of faith. He could not get in the door. May I say, secondly, not only to deny the Lord at the door, but notice the second thing. In verse number 18, the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals where it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, to find the denial, we got to go to verse number 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. He's still there by the fire. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. So he first denies the Lord at the door, then he denies the Lord around the fire. Amen. What do you think that fire is symbolic of? The psalmist said, come on now. The psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Those two on the road to Emmaus said, did not our heart burn within us while we walked with him and he spake to us along the way? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he not only denied his faith, but he denied the fellowship of the Lord. God help us. God help us when we get to running with the wrong crowd and start following God afar off, and we've got running through our mind worldly thoughts and wanton thoughts and wicked thoughts more than we have the wonderful thoughts of our Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, we're headed for trouble. Now I'm telling you, he denied the faith and he denied the fellowship of the Lord. Are you listening to me out there? Warming himself with that crowd.
Amen.
And I guarantee they didn't let that fire get out of the barrel. It'd been coat time. Some of y'all know that little joke. You'll understand that if you ask somebody else in here. Who is our fellowship with? Get this. If we walk in the light, John said in 1 John chapter verse number 6, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You think Peter was walking in the light there? Well, if he wasn't walking in the light, he couldn't have had fellowship. The Lord was standing off in another room. Peter's out here fellowshipping with the enemy. You wouldn't be found guilty of that, would you? Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you want to narrow our fellowship down to just a slight few. Amen! Fellowshipping with the wrong bunch, folks. If you're not careful, you in doing that, you'll spend your time with them and no time with God. By the way, how much time are we spending with Him? Somebody said, well, I've quit reading my Bible. You've denied fellowship. And some of you, the minute amen is said, you vanish out the front door like a blaze of fire. Let me read this verse. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You can apply that two ways, either one with another, meaning you and Christ, which is the more probable interpretation. Or you can apply it and say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Are you fellowshipping with this church? You hang around and talk to people in the church and you fellowship with them? When you dine out, do you dine out with people in the church? Do you dine out with Christians? When you go places, do you go with the people of God? Or do you frequent places where sinners is at? He denied the faith. And he denied the fellowship. But I'm going to tell you this last one is the real killer. It's the one that really breaks my heart. Who is he fellowshipping with? The Bible said there, the servants, in verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, being the kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. And in one of the Gospels it says, and when that cock crew, Jesus looked at him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He immediately repented. But who is he fellowshipping with there? Let me read you a verse of Scripture. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I don't think Peter knew what God was doing. But listen. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Do you know what it means to deny friendship? For a man to have friends, he must first show himself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, do you know what it means to deny a friend? Someone that's loved you. Someone that's cared for you. Someone that's helped you. Someone that's tried to be a blessing in life to you. You know who's, you know, and you deny that friend,
You know whose class and category you fall into? I believe you'd fall right in the category of a fellow by the name of Joab. What was it the Lord said in the psalm, and I can't quote the verse exactly. Had it been a stranger, then I could bear it. But it wasn't. It was mine equal, mine familiar friend that went into the house of God together.
Amen.
My friend, he said.
Amen.
You know what it means to deny friend? Wouldn't it be miserable? Wouldn't I be a miserable person, if Brother Bells give 14 years of his life to this ministry, and all Miss Ruth has given, I've been here over 18 and she was here when I got here, and she's given her life to this ministry, and Brother Steve back there has given 5, 6, 7 years of his life to this ministry, and for no reason without cause, I just walked in some morning and said, hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. And they'd done nothing amiss. Wouldn't it be something? How long you been coming here, Brother Smith? 13 years. Somebody walked up to me one day and said, you know, there's a fellow over at work, I know it. Some religious fanatic, his name's Smith, said, that guy, I'm telling you, I just can't handle it. And I said, yeah, I've heard it. He's a member of our church, and I'm telling you, that man aggravates me to death, too. I mean, he just gets on my nerves, huh? I mean, it just aggravates me. Wouldn't I be some kind of a pastor to do that, and a friend, be on the pastor's friend? I mean, the only friend that I've had here in the ministry that I really feel like I've ever done anything wrong to is Sharon Dockery, and I've fired her 75 times. Will you forgive me for that, Sharon? Can you see where I'm at? Peter, now, if Peter would have been where he ought to be, instead of lagging behind, he'd have never defiled himself, he'd have never grew discouraged, and he would never have denied the Lord. And somebody said, oh, yes, he might have, preacher. Is that right? John went in where the Lord was at, and John never denied the Lord. John never cursed. John never lied. John never stood with the fire. John stood with the Lord. Now, there's your contrast. What about us today? Are we going to stay up where he's at or lag behind? Somebody said, well, I've done lag behind too long. And again, it wasn't John that Jesus called to preach on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter. And I'm going to show you true repentance. When the Lord turned and looked on Peter, it didn't take him 6 months to repent. He went out immediately and wept bitterly. Immediately. There's the difference, ladies and gentlemen, in repentance and remorse of being caught. How about you today? Let's stand together.